I was hoping you were going to begin the sermon, Duke. You sometimes do by posing a question or a thought. So we are wrapping up the book of James here this morning. And let me just remind you some of where we've been with James. I have suggested the question underlying this entire book is how we respond to God's good gifts to us. And James has been very clear that our response to God should be demonstrated, should be seen, should be in action, speech and action. We respond to God by doing and saying things, or not doing and saying other things. And we've been talking about these things, I've been talking about them in the sermons in these weeks, largely on an individual basis, what we are to do as individuals. You may remember James says, don't show favoritism, for example, or watch your tongue, tame your tongue. But this week, as James wraps up this book, he makes clear that all of what he's been saying to us is not just for us individually, it's for us communally. How we are to behave together. And so in this week's passage, he begins by reminding us to be patient. And you've already, some of you acknowledged by raising your hands that patience is not the easiest thing in the world for many of us. And James knows that. That's why he's reminding us of it. But he's saying we should be more like the farmers or those who plant seeds. And you can do all the preparation. You can prepare the soil. Everything can be perfect. Once you plant the seed, though, you've got to wait. And so James says to us, be patient. Know that the Lord is near. The coming of the Lord is near. Be confident that God's at work, but be patient. God's time is not our time. God is at work, but not always as quickly as we might want. So be patient. But James is not just counseling us to be patient with God. Notice he then says, oh, and by the way, don't complain and grumble about each other either. James is saying, don't just be patient with God, learn to be more patient with each other. We're all on the same journey, but not everyone's journey goes at the same pace or looks the same. And so be patient with each other. Don't expect everyone else to be as advanced in their faith or as unadvanced in the faith as you may be. Be patient with everyone, with each other. Don't complain, don't grumble, but be patient. So you see how James is moving from the individual to the communal. Don't just be patient in your own life, but be patient when you are together. And this moves him then into prayer. James says, if you are suffering, pray. If you are rejoicing and celebrating, pray. If you're ill, call the elders and have them pray. In other words, what James is saying is in all things, in all aspects of life, pray. He's essentially saying what Paul says at one point, pray without ceasing. That's what James is counseling us. Pray. And again, not just individually, but pray together as a community of faith. That's why he says, if you're sick, call some folks from the church. Here we might say, start with the deacons, but it could be anyone. Call and invite them to pray with you. Ask for prayer. Be willing to pray with others. Prayer is powerful, James reminds us. But it's not just powerful because of the result of the issue that you're praying about. Prayer is powerful in the way it brings people together. In the modern vernacular, we might say the church that prays together stays together. Prayer reminds us of what we have in common. Prayer reminds us we're all in this together. Prayer reminds us we are here to support and care for each other. So James reminds us as a community, be willing to ask for prayers, be willing to offer prayers. This is why I believe, and I was a little disappointed there weren't more prayers lifted up earlier, because I was going to mention the prayer time in church. And that's all right. It's some weeks there are more prayers than others. But there are weeks when I've thought, with all the prayers being lifted up here in worship, where you're inviting everyone to be in prayer for things on your heart, there have been a few weeks recently where I thought, I'm not sure there's time for a sermon anymore after all these prayers, which is great. To me, that's one of the most important aspects of us gathering for worship, is sharing our prayers with each other. Being willing to ask for prayers, being willing to offer prayers together. It brings us together in a powerful way. And so James wraps up this book, this wonderful book, by reminding us the importance of prayer in all things, individually and together. And as we wrap up our journey through James, I've been reflecting on this book, and I began this series of sermons by mentioning what Martin Luther thought of the book of James. He did not think highly of it. You may remember I mentioned Martin Luther said this epistle of James was an epistle of straw. He wasn't even sure there was any of the gospel in it. He wanted to get rid of it. I hope someday, somewhere, to be able to sit down with Martin Luther over a beer or two and tell him just how wrong he is or was. Maybe he's learned since then. Particularly going through James here in these weeks, I've rediscovered what an amazing book this is. Because it's a book not just of good spiritual advice, it's a book of good practical advice. I mean, there are consultants out there, church consultants, making millions, coming to churches, telling them, here's what you should do. Here's how you grow. Here's how you get people to come. Here's how you have to change, etc., etc. I'm going to save us a bunch of money. Pay attention to what James says in this book. He tells us, here's how you are to live. Not just individually, but together as a community of faith. Remember some of what he says. Don't show favoritism to anyone. Don't judge. Welcome and love everyone who comes through your door. Use the Word of God as a mirror to remind you of what you're doing not so well sometimes, how you need to change, your growing edges, they might say in the consultant lingo. James has said, watch what you say. Tame your tongue. Know that your words can be uplifting, but far too often your words can also be divisive and hurtful. And be aware of that before you open your mouth. James has said, be mindful that your guiding principle must be the wisdom of God, not the wisdom of the world. The church is not a business. The church is not a corporation. The church is to be centered on the things of God first and foremost. Peace and love and grace and forgiveness. And then today, in all of your activities and dealings together, be patient with God and with each other and pray. Whenever you get together for any reason, committee meetings, having lunch after church, whatever, pray for each other and with each other. Now, this is all good spiritual advice, but I've got to tell you, I think our world is hungry for churches and communities that are doing these things. I mean, what is it that turns so many off from the church? They're hypocrites. All they do is point fingers at people. They're not actually living what they say. I truly believe as a congregation, if we keep in mind these things that James tells us, and we start trying to live them, not just individually, but together as well, there are people out in the world hungry for communities doing that, loving, living together, praying together, being reminded of what binds us rather than what can separate us, being genuine, imperfect, but loving. I would suggest if we work to be a Jamesian church more and more, people will respond. Not overnight, but we will grow spiritually, which is the most important thing. But I truly believe we will also grow numerically and financially as well. The frosting on the cake, because people are hungry for communities that are living out these things. So there's my suggestion here at the end of this wonderful book. A book full of good advice for us as a church. Let's try more and more to be Jamesian in our life individually and in our lives together. Amen.